Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, fixing AWS bills in San Francisco or wherever I happen to find them. This episode is sponsored in part by InfluxDB. They've recently released Influx 2, which is a grand unification of a number of different things that they've been doing, but they are, of course, known first and foremost for being the world's leading time series database, which is what you'd use if you need a time series database. For those of you who aren't quite familiar with what that entails, you can think of it as being like Amazon TimeStream if Amazon TimeStream had actual customers. It doesn't. Instead, people are using Influx. Check them out at influxdata.com. My thanks to them for sponsoring this episode. Now, let's see what happened last week in the wide world of AWS. Amazon Aurora Serverless Postgres now supports data API. Did I just pronounce API as API? Yes, I did. AMI has three syllables, and so does API. You can't have one without the other. This is an interesting release specifically focused on providing a endpoint that you can hit with a REST API for effectively Aurora Serverless on Postgres. They've had this for a little while for MySQL. It's now continuing to expand. Amazon ECS supports automated draining for spot instances using ECS services. Terrific. Now when it knows an instance is going away, it will in fact drain services from it before that happens. You know, the exact thing everyone's been asking for forever. It now does it. The Linux 2 AMI with .NET Core now includes Mono. What's Mono, you might ask? It's short for mononucleosis. It's a viral infection that lasts about a month and causes intense tiredness and is highly contagious. You'll see outbreaks all the time in dorms at colleges. It's unpleasant stuff. Why would they include this? I couldn't tell you. Amazon Poly Voices available in Windows applications. Good for it. You can now have things that sound like Alexa talking to you from Windows applications because Cortana just couldn't get the job done. Amazon Transcribe now supports AWS KMS encryption. Awesome, because you absolutely need your transcriptions encrypted at rest. Most of you don't. Those of you who do are probably subject to things like HIPAA. If you need this, you know it. AWS Amplify Console provides downloadable access logs for hosted web apps. I'm not quite sure how it does that, but I'm almost certain that CloudWatch Logs is engaged, unfortunately, somewhere. AWS Lambda now supports custom batch window for Kinesis and DynamoDB event sources. This lets it gather up a number of events to a certain size or time limit and then process them all at once. This solves the problem that a number of customers have noticed of the form of they'll do this on every event that comes through and oh my sweet feathery Jesus, it all runs on burning piles of cache. This is a more cost-effective solution for many of those workloads. AWS Marketplace now supports paid container software running on top of Amazon's Elastic Kubernetes service because the entire point of Kubernetes is to build a thriving ecosystem for vendors to gouge the living crap out of everyone. This now empowers them to do it on AWS as well. You can now use AWS Systems Manager to execute complex Ansible playbooks, and it also attempts to execute Ansible Tower in the desert. Welcome to the world, AWS Systems Manager, Ansible Manager. vCPU-based on-demand instance limits are now available inside of Amazon EC2. You may have noticed this in your inbox over the past week, where Amazon sent an enthusiastic and urgent-sounding but utterly incomprehensible email to an awful lot of us. I have a much more direct explanation of this in half the length at lastweekinaws.com/blog. Take a look if you actually care about what this means. I'm not going into it here. AWS Chief Evangelist Jeff Barr has a post up talking about cloud-powered next-generation banking. This is interesting and refreshing, if for no other reason, then finally you'll see people talking about using money in the cloud and not running off at the mouth about blockchain. The AWS Management Tools blog has a post up about how to create an AWS cross-account support case dashboard. They have somehow taken the completely terrible user support experience when you're working cross-account, had a customer who spent time to work around their crappy nonsense, and rather taking this as a shame stick beating that it absolutely is, they turned it into a how you too can work around our terrible limitations with only several $100,000 of engineering effort. This is terrible. This episode is also sponsored by Chaos Search, which is something that is objectively not terrible. Picture everything terrible about running Elasticsearch, which is basically running Elasticsearch. Now, instead, picture being able to have that data living inside of S3, in your own S3 buckets, and then being able to run ad hoc or scheduled queries against it using the Elasticsearch API that you've come to know and, if not love, at least tolerate. That is what Chaos Search does at about 20% of the cost of running actual Elasticsearch from an infrastructure perspective, plus without having all of the nonsense overhead of running it. I strongly encourage you to take a look. They're not just a sponsor, they're also a tool that I actively recommend to my clients from time to time just because there's really no downside to it. Chaos Search is amazing, but because nothing is perfect, I will confess there is a problem. Chaos Search is written entirely in capital letters because they can't seem to chaos search their way to the caps lock key to turn it off. We'll let that one slide. Find out more at chaossearch.io, and my thanks to them again for their generous sponsorship of this newsletter. The AWS Security Blog has a selection of tips for building a cloud security operating model in the financial services industry, and that's all well and good. But if you're in the financial services industry, generally when you build a cloud security operating model and your reference point is some blog posts on the internet, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it hilariously wrong, and I just want to be in the room when you explain that posture to your regulators. Because the look on their face is going to be priceless beyond measure. And lastly, this is a blast from the past. There's an article on how to migrate symmetric exportable keys from AWS Cloud HSM Classic to AWS Cloud HSM. Now, for those who don't remember, whenever Amazon puts the word classic at the end of a product, that means that it no longer is supported and any other cloud provider would turn it off. Amazon's going to keep it around forever, but they call it classic, so you really know what you're getting. Now, Cloud HSM is effectively a hardware storage module, which is, I believe, what the acronym stands for. Don't at me. And that stores cryptographic data. Now, originally, Cloud HSM ran on giant piles of burning money in US East 1. It cost thousands upon thousands of dollars a month. Now, the new version of Cloud HSM, it's not cheap for dorm room standards, but it's less than $2 an hour, and there's no committed hourly rate and provisioning cost for each one. So if you're still using Cloud HSM Classic, you're probably a large organization. You're probably bound to some sort of Byzantine regulatory issues, and then on top of that, almost certainly tied heavily to an obnoxiously inelastic change control process. So fundamentally, whenever you're playing with this, if you're using this thing, you're burning money and you're probably stuck. But in the off chance there's one or two of you out there who are not in that situation, this blog post explains how to fix this horrible nonsense. If that's you, vaya con Dios, where you have gone, I cannot. And that's what happened last week in AWS. My name is Corey Quinn. I'm a cloud economist at the Duckbill Group, fixing horrible AWS bills by making them smaller and more understandable. To learn more about that, I'm at lastweekinaws.com. I'm also on Twitter at QuinnyPig. That's Q-U-I-N-N-Y, pig. If you've enjoyed this ridiculous episode, please leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. If you've hated this episode, please leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. And either way, I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.